Blog Talk Radio.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely black. I hugged her and she hugged back. Like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in a boat? My head keeps spinning. I go to sleep and keep grinning. If this is just a beginning, my life is gonna be beautiful. I've sunshine enough to spread. It's just like the fella said. Tell me quick, ain't love a kick in the head? Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? Like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in a boat? My head keeps spinning. I go to sleep and keep grinning. If this is just the beginning, my life is gonna be beautiful. She's telling me we'll be wed. She's picked out a king-size bed. I couldn't feel any better, or I'd be sick. Tell me quick, boy, ain't love a kick. Tell me quick, ain't love a kick in the head.
Hey, hey, Pally, listen. Big news. I know a lot of you guys were tuning in and expecting to hear a conservative's perspective, and fundamentally, you will in a way, as I am the voice of a conservative's perspective. But this is something new, and this is something we're really excited about. This is the first installment of the American Brand Radio Initiative. And the reason I'm laughing, our friend, longtime friend of the program, Scott Kesterson. This is a project that Scott and I have been talking about for a couple of weeks now. And one day Scott said, you know what? I'm tired of thinking. We're not thinking anymore. We're doing. And so here we are. And what's going to happen now? We're on the Patriot Nation Radio Network, and our friend Scott is with us right now. Hey, Scott, I got you pulled up, buddy. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can, James. What's going on, man? How are you?
Okay. What we're doing is, as you know, the American Brand is a multifaceted endeavor. It's education, it's political action, it's saving this damn country is what we're doing. And tonight here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network, courtesy of our friend Mark Hoffman, we're doing the live show. And we have our own blog talk channel set up, and we have we're starting out small. We're going to have the American Brand Radio Initiative. Of course, that'll be the program with Scott and myself, fundamentally speaking America's language, and that is one of truth, faith, and common sense. It's going to be Tuesdays live, and if you miss that one, don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. We'll have the archive program at the American Brand Radio channel just as quick as we can get it up. As soon as it gets archived and recorded at Blog Talk, we'll move that over. Scott. Good to have you back on the radio after a long overdue. It's just good to have you back, buddy. Thanks for being here.
Absolutely. No, this is really exciting, James. And I want to just, you know, hats off to you. I had my little hiatus there for about a month of taking care of some personal issues. Hats off to you to getting this thing pulled up together and making this thing come together, which is great. And I'm super excited about it. I think that you know, as we get kind of warmed into this, and it's you and I have a really good sync on things, and there's there is a need to have. I think we're at a point right now where we need to start combining efforts with a lot of us, because the fight that we're in is so complex and it's only ramping up. And we need to take a step back from just the raw news and some of just the raw commentary. And we need to really pivot off of the three pillars that you and I have talked a lot about, that Mark Fallon and I were pushing on the Kilroy Project last year, and which the American brand itself is built on, which is integrity, humility, and humor. And we can't ever forget that last one, humor. I mean, we have to be able to laugh a little bit at ourselves, and we have to laugh a little bit at the stupidity of some of the stuff that's going on, because if we take everything too serious, we're going to get all bottled up and we're going to end up exploding. You know, and that's just, and unfortunately, that's kind of the left view anyway, which is wind up like a top and keep winding up like a top until suddenly it's like a big zit that just blew up all over the wall, you know? So.
And here we are. And like you and I were talking, you know, we've had this text war back and forth here. It's just been fast and furious over the last couple of days, because I know you've been busy and had some things going on. And, but, you know, liberals, I'm going to tell you right now, we're raising the black flag. There is no quarter. As like, just like Scott, just like you were telling me in the text, this is now the Ministry of Trench Warfare. And we're taking it to them.
Well, and I think that's well said right there, because look, you know, there's a, for all of you out there that, you know, that there don't ever question the faith that we have, but when you're in trench warfare, things are going to get a little messy and a little dirty once in a while, and it needs to, okay? Because biggest thing here is there is all sorts of layers to this fight. You know, I had a great lunch today with my preacher, and we had about 3.5 hours talking about this. And it's just, you've got so many layers of this fight. But we need to be out here on that front edge, in that trench. We need to be digging it and shoveling it and fighting with it. And that's going to be, there's some coarseness to that. There's some dark humor that goes with that. But all along, there's those three pillars. There's integrity, there's humility, and there's humor. And then, you know, the other thing I always say, we have to be able to re-anchor ourselves in faith, values, constitutionality, and the belief in our nation. And when you have those things behind you, that's what you're doing every day. But it's the trench warfare part of this is real. I mean, we are only seeing the assault, the things that we've been talking about, everybody out here in conservative radio has been talking about in one way or another in form, is starting to happen, which is that we have our president, the people's president is in power, but they don't walk away from, people that have power don't walk away from power. They're not going to give that up. They're going to fight with everything they have. They're going to use every tool they have. And the thing that you've heard me say, James, which I know you and I are in full agreement, is this. It's interesting because part of that discussion we had today is, you know, the warfare we're in is an information warfare. It's an influence psyop warfare. Is the four pillars of that are legal, it's economic, it's political, and it's information propaganda, right? And those are
exactly
your four pillars of that. But what's really interesting is when you take a look at the impact of that and what it's trying to do, which is to break down your mind and break down your will, then you go and you sit and you listen to the perspectives from the faith side of that, and you end up hearing the spiritual warfare that's going on. And pretty soon you're like, oh, wait a minute now, there's a lot of parallels here. Because ultimately it's about breaking your spirit and breaking your soul. And that's where we are. We are in that sort of fight. It's very real and it's very intangible, and it's not something you can reach out and go, hey, you know, there's something I can touch. You can't. It's around you. And the only way you're going to defeat that is to have the sources you can go to that are going to be able to put things in context, remind you what your grounding is, and every single day recommit yourself to faith, values, constitutionality, and remind yourself of the integrity, humility, and humor that you have to have in every step of your day.
Truth, justice, in the American way, damn it. Okay.
What I need there, we're going to go back to the old Superman. Hey, you know, that's an interesting thing right there. And I want to talk about superheroes here for a minute, because this is a very interesting thing for me.
Yeah,
so
that's where let's go.
Take a look at, so when you talk about superheroes of old, right, Green Lantern, you take like Superman, America, Captain America.
Heck yeah, that's really, the one.
Right, and of course, everybody knows, if you don't know, that all of those two characters have all been, Superman and Captain America have been destroyed by Hollywood, and it's no accident, okay? If you look at what happened, and I like to put all this in context, movies take for those of you who don't know, I do a lot of videography and I do some film. And so to give you kind of an understanding of it, just real quick, when you talk about doing a film, especially a huge Hollywood budget film where you're talking $50, $100 million for the production, okay, what you're talking about is a film project that will take upwards of 4 or 5 years from the concept to the funding to the filming to the post-production and the delivery into studio, okay?
Right.
So in that, so that's about a 4 or 5 year project. So the thing I always like to point out is when you look at all the films that arrived on the scene during the summer of 2016, they were things like the arrival of the dark Captain America, the Captain America that was now part of Hydra, which Hydra, for anybody who knows, is identified as that's a code name for Nazis during the period.
Right.
We saw Superman turn into a gay character, and we saw the rise of all these female and transgender, the rise of the Black Panther character and the rise of the female superstar. Anybody actually think I'm sexist, because I'm not. But my point is that all of the deconstruction of the traditional American idols and things that people went to, everyone enjoys superheroes, was destroyed, and it was destroyed in the summer that Hillary was going to get her nomination and ultimately was supposed to get the ticket right into the presidency. That was 4 or 5 years in the planning. Okay, it wasn't accidental timing. It's not random. This is the sort of engine that we're all fighting against right now, an engine that's looking out that far ahead to try to figure out how to influence you, capture you, suck you in, and twist your mind and thoughts to break your will. Okay? So what's interesting to me, though, is when we talk about superheroes, superheroes like Superman. Yes, he had these superpowers, but the more important thing about Superman, which no one really talks about, is how he was a common, ordinary guy on the day of the week. He worked at a newspaper. He grew up on a farm. He had these sort of principles of work and ethic that within there, on those occasions when he needed to, he stripped that aside and he stepped into his Superman position, but he came back to being that daily American. Spider-Man was the same way. And
small
Captain
town
America
values, Scott.
Exactly. Bingo, man.
Small
right
town
there.
Values.
Right. So I was looking at some of these. I've been watching more TV than I normally do, and partly I do that once in a while to try to absorb some of the propaganda that they're trying to flush down everybody's head. And it's interesting to see how these new superheroes are all built around this sort of virtual reality character, right? They can transform themselves into dragons, or they can shoot electricity across the way, or they can elevate up and walk through walls. This is all stuff, if you look at it, it's all VR-type reality stuff that they're working with, because they're trying to get to the point where people don't live in the real world. You're not anchored and tangible in the concrete and the asphalt and the grass and the trees. You're living in this place where you put on a set of glasses and you can reach out and go, well, I don't like the way that leaf looks. I want to put a little cat in the tree. And it's not real. But they want to tell you that it's okay to be that way because there's no such thing as truth. There's no such thing. The truth is plural, and realities are plural. And when we get to that place, we end up with a society that has no foundation. We end up with governance that makes no sense. We end up with no need to have nation states because everything's in chaos. And you end up with a moral and spiritual void within your life that ends up launching people into a free fall. And what are we seeing right now? What are we seeing right now on the left? It is a complete free fall of values, faith, ethics. They don't have any of that. It's falling out the bottom. And it all happened because in their way of thinking, their messiah, which started out being the insurgent president, ex-president Obama, and was to follow on with the wicked witch of the East, Hillary Clinton, were going to get into power, and that was going to confirm for them that this progressive liberal nightmare that we're trying to struggle with was okay. It was good. It was going to validate, because in their life, there is no other accountability other than what they live now. There is no value check. There's no ethics. There's no morality. And you can't. The good and the bad is a choice. It's not a guide. It's not given to you by some higher power, right?
Exactly. And they're working this. They're working this to their advantage because there is no baseline metric. Everything's good. It's all good.
Well, everything is. I think what I would say is it's everything's a choice. So, like, there is no such thing as a moral value in society. Because everything we're choosing, or you're choosing to be, there's really no, yes, I guess you're right in that sense. I mean, there's no good. I mean, everything is good because it's just, it's a matter of perspective, right? So in the twisted way they would see things, and you see this, the values of this comes out of this horrific incident that just happened in Vegas. This, you know, this a horrific incident.
Yeah.
You end up with a place where people are saying, they're justifying it by saying things like, well, I have no sympathy because many of them are Trump supporters. Or, you know, the country Western people typically are God-loving, gun-toting Americans that we don't need it. I mean, this is legitimately how they retwist truth into making it justify heinous actions to make heinous actions seem normal. Or maybe
yeah.
this is the new normal. You know, we need to get used to this. This is the new normal. Now, I'll tell you what the new normal needs to be. We need to get the fear of God back in our life. That's the new normal.
Exactly. And you know, the thing of it is, and like I said, you know, if you have any, if you're opposed to anything that anybody wants to do based on your own specific morality, well, then what? You're a homophobe. You're an Islamophobe. You're a racist. And again, that's why I'm saying, that's why I say, and you're right in saying that it's a choice, because some clown, you know, some 50-year-old man decides that he wants to identify as a 6-year-old girl. And everybody goes, oh, well, okay, sure, why not? Well, why not? Because he's a 50-year-old damn man. That's why.
And, I'll tell you what, every single morning I go into the bathroom, every single morning I take a shower, and I look down, and I'm like, I'm still who I thought I was when I was born. I don't have any
yep.
questions about what my gender is, okay?
Still some do,
no, I
yeah.
swear, I you know, it's crazy to me. I mean, what is it? It's almost like putting on a new costume. You walk out here, it's like, hey, you know what? Today, God, I've got this itch. This itch is, I think I want to experience what it's like to be a woman. So I'm going to take a few pills, get a little snip, and be done with it. And then if I don't like it, I can flip back. And that's basically
well,
what
yeah,
doing.
And you don't have to do that, man. Here, iron my shirt and make me a sandwich. Okay? Thanks, sweetheart.
I guess the thing is, it's not good enough to be accepted that you can become the wife in a same-sex marriage, whatever the hell that looks like. But now you got to actually like take on the whole role. And you know, the darkest part of this, I had some really interesting conversation with a she's a lesbian in England, and we were having this conversation on. And I look, I mean, I'm not sitting here doing judgment here. She's a great woman. She's conservative. She's telling me about how fearful she was for her life because of the Muslim issue going on, and I respect that. And then, you know, she's like, she gets in this conversation how this whole transgender thing is a big pharma scam, and this isn't coming from me. This is coming from somebody on that side of the fence, right, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
And in the perspective, which, and it's like, and think about it. And does this make sense? It does. And I guess, you know, when we start to gauge truth, part of it is what's back to what you said in the beginning. We got to have a measure of common sense in this. So does it make sense when you say that big pharma is involved? You bet it does, because the minute you start this stuff, you never get rid of having to take these transition and hormone drugs. And if you can start them young, think about the boon you're getting for the life of an individual.
Yeah,
this is big
every
money.
Month.
This is every.
And you know the thing of it too, Scott. And I happen to see this today. You point out that this lady that you were talking with talked about how this whole transgender thing is this massive ripoff. People who have gone through these procedures are coming back in droves to have them reversed. Because it was not what they were searching for. You ain't got my wiener somewhere, do you, in a jar? Because I need that thing back. This is not working out for me at all.
He'd be like, you mean that pickle? That pickle's in my refrigerator? I'm telling you right now, James. There's a bizarreness to this. I mean, it's not just bizarre. It's really how insane can we get as people? Right. I mean, really look at this whole thing. I mean, how crazy have we become? And when you take away any sort of moral framework, any sort of value framework, any sort of faith framework within your life, anything is possible, anything, but not in a good way, because anything is possible within a moral, spiritual framework. Anything is possible. But there are certain areas you just don't tread. Right. And it's kind of like, you know, the Ghostbusters thing. Don't cross the streams. Yeah, don't cross those streams. It's not good. because when you start to head out into those directions, into those yonder lands, it's all this big lure, and it's like, hey, the little whisper comes in your head. What do you think today about if we snip off your wiener and we make you feel like a woman? Well, that sounds like a good idea. Yeah, I'll try that one.
No, that doesn't sound like – that does not appeal to me in the slightest.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I mean, like, where does this come from? I mean, what is this? Oh, well, I'm confused. I'm finding myself emotionally confused, and I'm finding myself aligning more with this other side. And maybe within me, I'm trying to awaken that female part of me. It's like, no, I'm sorry. Get a grip. Okay, go
on. No, you're just sissified. That's all.
Go cut down a tree for a while. Go shoot a deer. Do something. Golly, I'm telling you. I mean, it's like, if you sit at a desk long enough and you have all this garbage coming at you in the screen and all your life exists around social media, which has absolutely no reference to reality whatsoever, and you have ridiculous icons like Mark Zuckerberg is out here now under a – they're challenging him from Congress, and he's looking at potentially getting investigated, and he's out here saying, I'm sorry if I influenced the election and got President Trump elected. No, dumbass, you didn't do that. You didn't do that. You just broke the law, okay? It has nothing to do. You broke the law. You violated U.S. law, and you need to go to prison for that. But that's okay. You'll probably get off because you apologize. And the way this whole world works out here, all these folks that are out here on Facebook are going to go, oh, Mark, it's okay. We forgive you. And then when they file charges, they're going to be like, I'm outraged. I'm absolutely outraged. And I'm outraged because we forgave this man. It's like,
right.
Yeah, but there's a law. There's a law for this. This is why we have it, so that people like this won't do this. Yes, but this is an injustice. This is an absolute – and then you can already hear the dialogue starting. So it's the same sort of people that sit there at their desk and all day long, and they're like, huh, all this crazy stuff's happening. They're seeing images of people that are – you can't tell whether they're boy or girl or man or woman. And pretty soon it's like, well, I'm confused. Your whole life works around a platform that's confused. Your whole existence exists within a digital sphere that's confused. The whole existence you've created and grown up on is an existence that doesn't really exist other than just whatever people are talking about nonsense each day. You know? And then it's like, well, I'm confused. Well, I'm not surprised you're confused. Get out and do something real.
It's part of this. It's part of this grand design of the hard left and the globalist types. And you know what? You mentioned when you got into that superhero thing. As you know, Captain America he's my guy and has been for a long time. And you're absolutely right. The editorial board at Marvel Comics, I think, has been infiltrated by Hydra. And I was watching one of my movies. It's called Captain America: The Winter Soldier. And yes, it's a it's a superhero movie. There's no doubt about that because it's Captain America. But it was also more like a spy movie because the plot centered around this massive security agency, SHIELD, that Cap works for, and how it had been infiltrated by the Hydra scientists that were captured by the Allied Nazis. See, I remember when Captain America was beating the hell out of Nazis, and that was my biggest complaint about the first film was he wasn't killing enough Nazis. I mean, these Hydra guys, yeah, they're bad enough, but it's almost like they were trying to whitewash and politicize Nazism. And I'm like, these are some of the worst guys in the world. Why can't we kill Nazis and Hydra? But no, it was just Hydra. But the thing was that, you know, our government, the United States government, the government of this country that is the bastion of freedom, had been infiltrated and infected by this sick, cancerous, elitist group with designs of global domination. And it was about people who said, you know what? It took that one guy, it took Cap to call him out on it, but then it was okay, you know, enough. That's our government. Our government is Hydra.
Our government is Hydra with its faces of Pelosi, Schumer, Pocahontas, and their court jester, Hillary Clinton.
Exactly,
I'm telling you. Yeah, and
you
right
know what? What did they say? They say, you know, you cut one head off, two more grow back in its place, and that's the fight that we have on our hands.
It's truly. I mean, kudos to Steve Bannon, by the way, for taking a lead on the fight to elevate up the populist movement and start ripping out the core of some of the Republican Party. And I don't know.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in a minute, too.
Yeah, and I'm going to back into this a little bit because today we found out that Pence's chief of staff, his personal chief of staff for his group, Mike
right.
Pence, he's
yeah.
talking to the donors to do the same thing. So that's you got now the two big dogs in the country up here with their subordinates. Bannon is still President Trump's subordinate, like it or not, and Pence's subordinate saying the same thing. It's time to gut the establishment that doesn't support Trump, right?
Exactly.
But it is so the irony of Hollywood is once in a while truth slips out within their storylines, right? So back to your Captain America thing. The comics are different than the movie. The movie did play that up as far as that. And if you take the right lens on it, you're actually getting truth in there, which is they're actually telling a story about what is really happening, but they're doing it in such a way as to make it almost seem like it's good, right? When you take what happened in Marvel Comics, they actually flipped Captain America to be Hydra, and that's a different depth of that story. And in its place, they put in the new iconic character, which is a revival from old, but it was the Black Panther was the new character. And
right.
the Black Panther is a progressive socialist. He's an inclusivist, and the people that he fights are people like white nationalists. I mean, this is straight up propaganda, folks. Straight up propaganda that's going to your kids. That's just it. And when you start to get that depth of rancor going on, and they know what they're targeting the youth. And the youth are usually the ones that have the greatest clarity. So you tie all this in with all these initiatives, and it's always about destroying the foundations of our culture, going to the youth and moving it forward generation by generation. That's the sort of fight we're dealing with in these trenches. And it's ugly. It's not pretty. And it's the only way we're going to get through this is we have to continue to band together. We have to continue to shut off the TV and shut off the propaganda box. You got to step away from the film influence because, well, hey, I want to go to the movies. No, we're not going to go to the movies. We're going to go out and do something like go fishing or something like that, right? And we got to get back to some basics. And some of that means we got to make some personal sacrifices, which aren't always easy. But that's the question you have to ask is what are you trying to build? What are you living for and fighting for? Because if you're living for and fighting for the paycheck to have some more goodies and your material things and your a new truck and a lot of TV and whatever else you're doing out here, or a new computer or whatever, then you need to ask yourself the purpose because life is bigger than that. And we're going to have to make some very hard choices in these months and years ahead.
We are down to the bottom of the hour. Scott, we're going to take a quick musical break, and we will be back with more of the American Brand's first installment of its radio initiative. Right here, we've got Scott Kesterson and James Foster from a conservative perspective, and we are going to be playing a little music here as soon as I figure out what the hell I'm doing, man. I'm pushing buttons. Everything's going backwards on me. when we come back on the other side, you know, a couple of weeks ago, Judge Roy Moore defeated the establishment candidate Luther Strange down in Alabama in a senatorial race, in the primary, that is, handily. And with that in mind, I have a clip from the toddler, Chuck Todd. And we're going to play that on the other side here. Man, I just really I'm starting to get to talk here.
Well, you're chopping up, too. You're sounding kind of like you're talking through a stutter machine, so you know.
Okay. Well, I'm moving the pages around here, and that should help.
Well, there you go.
And we're going to get –
You're clear all of a sudden.
I'm going to get ready for – perfect. Okay, we will be back with more of a conservative, with more of the American Brand Radio. James Bostic, Scott Kesterson, right after this brief commercial message. And it's not a commercial message, really. It's just a little something I set up for Scott here.
On a Monday, I was arrested.
Uh-huh.
On a Tuesday, they locked me in the jail.
Uh-huh.
On a Wednesday, my trial was attested. On a Thursday they said guilty and the judge's gavel fell. I got stripes, stripes around my shoulders. I got chains, chains around my feet. I got stripes, stripes around my shoulders. And them chains, they're about to drag me down. On a Monday, got my striped breeches. On a Tuesday, got my ball and chain. On a Wednesday, I'm working, digging ditches. On a Thursday, Lord, I'd beg them not to knock me down again. I got stripes, stripes around my shoulders. I got chains, chains around my feet. I got stripes, stripes around my shoulders. And them chains, they're about to drag me down. On a Monday, my mama come to see me. On a Tuesday, they caught me with a file. On a Wednesday, I'm down in solitary. On a Thursday, Lord, I start on bread and water for a while. I got stripes, stripes around my shoulders. I got chains, chains around my feet. I got stripes, stripes around my shoulders. And them chains, they're about to drag me down.
I hear the train a-coming. It's rolling around the bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps rolling on down to San Antone. When I was just a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry. But there's rich folks eating in a fancy dining car. They're probably drinking coffee and smoking big cigars. Well, I know I had it coming. I know I can't be free. But those people keep a moving, and that's what tortures me.
American Brand Radio Initiative. Scott Kesterson, James Bostic here. Spending about an hour speaking America's language, truth, faith, common sense. How you doing, bud? You still with me?
Oh, yeah. That commercial break was fantastic, James. Thank you.
Well, I know you're a big Johnny Cash fan.
Oh, more than most people realize right now. I'll tell you right now.
And someday, what I wanted to talk to you about. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Someday we're going to tell that story, just not right now. But yeah, I don't even drink in the water. The whole doggone thing. So let's keep going.
Okay. All right. As we were talking before the bottom of the hour there, when I had to put a dig on my boy, here's what's going on. A couple weeks back, Judge Roy Moore, who is a polarizing lightning rod type character from Alabama, defeated through support, no doubt, of Sebastian Gorka, Steve Bannon, Sarah Palin, and others of that conservative ilk, handily defeated Luther Strange, the establishment candidate. And I got a little clip I want to play from the toddler, Chuck Todd, from Face the Nation, Meet the Depressed, one of those crap shows. And I'm going to play this, and I'm going to get your spin on it, because you and I have a very clear understanding of and I'm sure yours is a lot clearer than mine, because I've only been looking at it really, truly intently for a couple of years in terms of the Constitution. And this clip I have of Chuck Todd, it's 27, 28, 30 seconds, not very long. I want you to listen to what he has said. If you haven't heard it already, I think you'll be shocked. Here we go. This is Chuck Todd from about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago.
Roy Moore, where the phrase Christian conservative doesn't even begin to describe him, could very well be your next U.S. senator. And you don't understand just how freaked out some folks in the GOP and the White House are about what that means, then you don't know Roy Moore. First off, he doesn't appear to believe in the Constitution as it's written.
Our rights don't come from government. They don't come from a Bill of Rights. They come from Almighty God.
Okay. Now, I don't know if you had heard that or not.
I have, yeah.
But, yep. Okay. Well, it really put a weed up as far as I was concerned. And I have this book. It's not a big book. You can get it for free from the Heritage Foundation. It's part of their First Principles series. And it's called A Citizen's Introduction to the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. Now, here is the place where Chuck Todd, and for all you lay people out here, Chuck Todd is what we like to call in the business an idiot.
You're being kind. I've got a few other choice words. I don't think they're legal.
Well, yeah, that's my training in the radio business. What the deal is here, and John Adams wrote about this, and he wrote, and here's what he said, and I'm gonna split this up. Among men, all are subject by nature to equal laws of morality, and in society have a right to equal laws for their government. Yet no two men, and this is where people freak out, because it says that all men are created equal, and they try to bring this into a very literal, almost a physiological interpretation, which is impossible. No two men are perfectly equal in person, property, understanding, activity, and virtue, or ever can be made so by any power less than that which created them. Now, the two things that we need to note in this context first, and we will get into a discussion at some point, you and I know, about natural rights. And this philosophical grounding that the founders had in natural rights doesn't create a radical, unlimited sense of freedom like many people would think it does today. The argument of the founders is of rights derived from a human nature that was understood, as it was understood, in accord with the classical or traditional view of man. The Declaration says all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. These are truly the fundamental things, not just anything or everything that we want to claim, these certain unalienable rights that were given to us by the Creator. And here's the second part, which really made me sit up. These rights, and these are the same rights that Judge Roy Moore is talking about, America, these rights are not the creation or the indulgence of government. While additional positive or civil rights, more correctly termed civil liberties, I think, are enshrined in the Constitution, like the rights of free speech and freedom of the press, which is recognized in the Bill of Rights, and Congress can legislatively create civil rights, natural rights, which is what Roy Moore is talking about, which is what the toddler fundamentally does not understand because, you know, that whole idiot thing. They pre-exist the institution of any government. Okay, go ahead. I'm just going to stop right there. What Roy Moore's talking about, the rights that Roy Moore's talking about, come from God. They're not given by man. They're not an indulgence or a gift from government.
No, and this is exactly where the left and the right diverge. And this is why this is so important. When you get into the origins of this new progressive liberalism, which, keep in mind, it has more akin with the Democratic Socialists of Germany, which became the Nazis, than it becomes anything else. It's all about the deconstruction of everything that we currently rely on, which goes from culture to truth to anything like that. And it's the plurality of all things is so a document that is bestowed upon us by our founding fathers, which was enshrined in the values of faith and God, simply becomes another piece of paper. And this is an important principle of how the left seizes control and crafts change. When you look at how they see the world, the Bible no longer is a document. And it really, this was most defined by in recent times. Its origins go back to the Frankfurt School in Germany. And then there was a particular author in France known as he was a linguist. His name was Derrida. And he developed the concept of deconstructionism of language, which was how to pull words apart and look at their historical lineage and start to look at what they actually what their history lineage is to try to create plurality in text. And then we evolved to an author I believe he wrote this text in the early 80s. His name is Hayden White, and he came out of the University of Santa Cruz in California, where he declared that all history is fiction. This is all part of this postmodern deconstructionism, and why this is so important is that when you define that all written material, all texts are fiction, there is no such thing as sacred text. Everything becomes another number on the library shelf, and it's equal in power, except that unless I need you to buy my book obviously becomes more important than anybody else.
Well, naturally, that goes without saying.
Money off, right? But the point is that you might as well put the Bible next to Dr. Seuss because the two are equal in this perspective, and that allows you then in the deconstructionist period concept of which is categorized as critical theory in the left. Critical theory is about unraveling the perspectives on text and to put them through different lenses of what they mean, what the potential influences are, and how they transition in meaning over time. So what that translates to in terms of power and control is you strip away all sacred texts, all values based in text, all anything of a godly nature, because there is no such thing as a God in the world. It is a socialist atheist world. And therefore all documents no longer have precedence over the other from a legal point of view. It's purely man-made and man-destroyed if chosen. And so when you hear these people say things like Chuck Todd, they're fearful of what just happened in Alabama. They're fearful.
Yeah.
Because
it's not just guys like Todd either. It's Mitch McConnell. It's John McCain. It's Lindsey Graham, too.
Oh, no. These people are all sold out. They've sold their souls.
Hydra, baby. Hail Hydra. That's what these cats do. They probably have their own little pins on their lapels.
It's all there. I agree with you. And when you rip away faith out of a culture and you rip away that belief in, I mean, the term people, the left can't stand. It's like we use the term fear of God. I'm not going to fear anything in my life. Well, yeah, you'll fear something. Trust me.
Oh,
Every person will fear something. And
when that doctor looks at you and says, I'm afraid this is malignant, you're going to get scared.
You bet. Well, I'll tell you one thing. As they say, you know, in combat, every person that jumps into a foxhole never leaves that foxhole without believing in God. I will guarantee you that.
No atheists in a foxhole.
So, none at all. There's no room for it because you don't have time for it. You're out here realizing that your life's up to you. And, you know, and sometimes another show, I don't want to do it tonight, but. I'm going to tell a true story about walking so far off the edge like that.
Okay.
okay? And it's a real sure. story, and it'll be a little more it'll be a little more serious part of the show, and then we'll jump into some funner part and begin and later on. But I maybe in the coming weeks we'll kind of map that out and where we want to go, because I want to tell a real personal story about that in Afghanistan, okay? But and the point of this whole thing is this election in Alabama was significant because what it showed is where the anchor values were with the populist movement, which ultimately it's anchored in the perspectives of someone who is openly claiming their belief and trust in God. And what's very interesting about that, I mean, and for those that are out there, I've heard a lot of criticism on this whole thing about President Trump backed the wrong guy. He's embarrassed. He had to deal with Mitch McConnell. I don't think any of that happened. Okay, there's a reason Steve Bannon was not fired, but released from office, because he knew that he can't fight the institution himself. And you've heard me say this, James. We've talked about this on your shows. I've talked about this on my shows. Okay, and the point is that this has never been a single fight. For those of you that are thinking that President Trump was going to go up there on his great white horse and wield his sword and everything was going to change and the swamp was going to drain and we're all going to be living happily ever after under the red, white, and blue, never going to happen. Because it's going to take daily vigilance and daily activity for every single person out here to be involved and engaged locally to change. And that's what this program is about. That's what the American brand is about. But a change that we just saw in Alabama is significant because people are willing to step aside. The media is going to portray every single negative they can on this guy to portray him as an evil because he is a true threat. He is a threat because he's carrying the banner of faith with him as he goes to D.C. saying, basically, what is on our dollar bills, what is in our Constitution, it is bestowed upon us by God, and it is the values that we are anchored in. And that is where ultimately our rights come from. That is a fearful statement for those of the socialist side who claim that the only accountability that they have is this life now, and that any action they can take is justifiable because it's their life to live the way they want to. Hence, you end up with something, and I'm not exaggerating what I'm saying here, and I'm not drawing conclusions, but you end up with some crazy, whatever motivations person is able to shoot 59 people, kill them, and injure over 500 in Las Vegas, because at the end of the day, he ceases to have any moral compass left, and he is free-falling into hell. And it's okay, because it's justifiable in one way or another. And that is the one level of interpretation I think every one of us can agree upon. Other motives beyond that, we can see. But this is where you end up. You end up in a society that ends up in chaos and free fall, and there people are saying, well, that's horrible. Let's take more of this away and more of that away and more of this away and more of that away, and let's control you a little bit more. Because ultimately, man, these people in power want to assume the role of God. And when you proclaim that, by the way, as he did, these aren't rights that man gave us, that's taking away the power that everybody in D.C. has tried to grab. That's pretty bold.
That's yeah,
a great
and
statement towards the populist movement.
And it's these two documents, the Declaration and the Constitution, are the basis of all those things that we hold dear. They are unique. They're unique. We can talk about the Magna Carta. We can talk about the Code of Hammurabi. We can talk about other various ancient codified laws. But they are unique in all of history because of what? Because they acknowledge that it is not government that bestows these rights, these freedoms on man. It comes from that, like you said, it comes from that higher power. It comes from God.
Well, and I agree with this. So we point to the Magna Carta, which I think is really interesting, because all of those documents in that era and before, the power came from the royals.
Yes.
It was through the lords and the royals. And this is an important component because however that concept started, okay, the empowerment of the Constitution was to say that we don't have royals anymore. I just listened to a criticism the other day about how fake that was, because in fact, the people wanted to follow a royal model because they wanted to turn the power over to George Washington. And it's a complete erroneous argument. And the reason it's erroneous is that they were navigating a new way of governance that people didn't totally understand. And with that, in a collective sense of thinking, if you look at all the various discourses that came out in the writings, and there was discussions and disputes, it was a model they were trying to build and navigating. And of course, some people wanted to suggest that someone like George Washington, who had a good mind and a spirit, could lead that country. But he was wise enough to see that that wasn't going to be successful in the model, and so they put in, he declined. And he bent his warning in that speech of that of when he rescinded his third term, and his speech was, he warned the need to avoid political parties, for example. That was one of his great moments in there in that speech. But the whole premise of this was to accept that there were, as you said, we are bestowed with us certain rights that have nothing to do with man. And when we get into a congressman who's now saying that, and we have a president who is treading on those edges constantly, quoting from scripture after the Las Vegas incident, which is amazing. I've talked to so many people that are like, I'm so pleased, and yet I was so surprised that he actually quoted, in particular quoted that passage. Right? I mean, there is a war going on here. I think people need to really understand. And I also want to say this openly. This is not a channel of Christian ministry in any traditional sense. We are anchored in Christian values. We are anchored in faith, and we believe in God. That's given. But when I talk about these things, we're talking about true warfare in which we face. You know my story well enough about my background. I worked in the space of gray so much that when you work in gray, everything has some sort of, you touch on all sides. But there is a point when you touch true evil. We just witnessed true evil in openly in Vegas. But you can see the true evil in this other sphere, the evil that's fighting back because they're fearful of this concept that God could get reestablished in our teachings, get reestablished in schools. I mean, why is it that atheists are so afraid and so offended of a cross? Ask yourself that. What is it? What is it that makes them so panicked, and why they have to take it to court to argue that it needs to be removed? What offends them so much about that?
What because is it that the big them? Question that nags them, and I don't care how confident they are, because I've gone round and round with these atheistic types. The big question that nags at them, though they may never ever admit it, is what if I'm wrong? What if it comes down to that, and I give up the ghost, and then there I am, and we've got this guy saying, okay, so tell us your story. What are they going to say?
Yeah, tell me exactly what you're going to say. Why exactly did you do that?
Yeah. And they're not going to have an answer beyond arrogance and ignorance.
Well, so let's look at that from a very callous model, okay? And this is, if this offends people, it's not intended to, so just bear with me on this. If you take this from a business model and you look at your options ahead of you and you say, okay, this is how my business is, and in this particular example, my business is that we have a business of not believing in God, okay? And I'm going to put all my odds on that. And I look at that in terms of my ability to grow my business and have a successful future beyond where I can see the next 6 months, next 8 months, and I'm trying to project a business that's going to be out for 10, 20 years. It's going to be passed on to my kids. It's going to give some sort of legacy, give me stability in retirement. And I put all my eggs in one basket. You tell me, you name to me a single business that has ever succeeded doing that. So let's take the example of Ford, and we'll use a Ford here and the Model A. And this would be, the atheist argument is very much like, we're making the Model A, and that's all we're going to make is the Model A for the rest of the time, because that's the only car that we know, it's the only car that will work, and we know that that's all that we believe in. Ford would be a past little spot in history as some foolish company that didn't understand the market revolution of technologies or change of customer needs or whatever, right?
Right.
If you're smart.
That was not Henry Ford at all.
No, it's not. It's, you have to, if the part that in just a pure, raw, callous model, if you're going to put all your eggs in one basket, which is a non-belief in anything, you're running a pretty big risk. It's a risk, personally, I would never take.
Nope.
Right? And it's a foolish risk, because no good business person would ever take that risk on an investment or their business. But they're investing in their life. they're investing in their soul. So the question is, really, I look at that and I'm like, wow, you sure don't value, you don't have a lot of value left in you. Because if you're putting everything into one line, it's like going and buying one stock and saying it's the only stock. Enron. Oh, good example. So I meet this Enron was, I worked with a number of people when I had my construction company back in the late 90s and early 2000. And I was running into these folks that were working for the power company. And I mean, they're like 38 years old. And they'd come out and I'd do this a lot. It's like getting new service. You'd have the power company come out and you'd have to do the connection between the meter and the pole. Right.
Right.
And then conversations and they were like, dude, I'm retiring next year. And it's this kind of intimidating feeling when you're sitting here working your tail off and you're trying to make ends meet. You're like, man, and part of you is like, whew, I wish I had that opportunity, right?
Right.
So you ask them, like, how is this? It's like, we've got everything invested in Enron and it's doing so well for us, we're going to be able to retire. I'm not kidding. These are true stories. And I can't say there's nothing.
Well, no, and I'm just saying it's just so ironic, you know, because for those of you who don't know, Enron was a golden goose who cut its own head off, basically.
Exactly. So 6 months, a year later, Enron blew up. And I saw these same people. They were back working for the company. I'm like, yeah, I thought you were going to retire. And now my business is doing okay, but I'm still working hard. And I'm working 15, 18 hours a day doing what we do to make a business go.
Right.
And like, so I thought you were going to retire. And like, you know, now it's morose. It's like, basically, my bet failed. I'm back here. We've got nothing left in our savings. Where our $2 million that we had in our 401k is now worth about $10,000. Everything we had bet on, all that money we put in, all that money we pulled away from doing other things we could have put in other investments or put into our life or put into the church or put into whatever you're doing, it's gone. It's gone. Years of this investment of diligently investing in a single belief, which is what it was.
Yeah.
It was a belief.
We're believing in Enron. We're believing in Enron. It's the be all end all.
And the end, you end up bankrupt damn near. You're back working a job and then, you know, like, so when do you think you're gonna retire now? And they're like, I have no idea if we ever will. So for those, you know, that whole concept of atheism, it's to me, even getting away from all the like I said, it's not intended to be in any way offensive, but we get into a course argument about this. It's just pure function of strategy of investment in your life. And you want to tell me that, you know, you want to go that way and you're going to throw everything out except you're going to say, I'm living here and now. That's all there ever is. You deny the miracles that are around you. And of course, I always hear that. I hear this other side of maybe that's not really what we mean. Well, I don't know what you do mean, because obviously you mean something, but I can't figure it out because you're confused, not me. You're confused. And so you end up back to where we started with this. Luther Strange. And he stands up and he wins. And he proclaims that rights come from God. And the atheists lose their mind. Because suddenly there's a bigger investment strategy on the table that's promising something greater than anything they can offer. Because all they're offering is this artificial happiness rooted in materialism and human control. And we're saying all that doesn't matter. Because what matters is something bigger than all of us that we can't see and touch, but we believe in. And bam, the left is rocked to its core.
And we are down to our last 60 seconds. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been James Bostic, Scott Kesterson, with the very first. And man, I tell you what, this has been, I cannot wait till next Tuesday, dude. This has been terrific. And James Bostic and Scott Kesterson, basically, like we said at the beginning, spending an hour speaking America's language. And that's one of truth, faith, and common sense. We're down to 10 seconds. Scott, as always, this is like I said, I can't wait till next Tuesday, and I know we're going to be in touch probably in about 3 seconds. We got to go. That's all the time we've got. God bless each and every one of you. God bless the greatest, the freest, the best last hope of freedom on earth, and that is the United States of America. Scott, talk to you here in a little bit, buddy. I'm going to tell everybody goodbye, and we will be back next Tuesday with more from the American Brand Radio Initiative. You guys take good care of yourselves, and we'll see you next Tuesday.